Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Battle in GTD Pro inside the last 2 hours, and it's two Porsches, Pfaff and Lawrence Vanto for KCMG. Matty Jaminy and Lawrence Vanto, how many times have these two been on the same part of the racetrack? And the two Porsches, the plaid Porsche of Pfaff, regular in IMSA competition. KCMG making their debut here at the Rolex 24. But they're no rookies in motor racing. They've competed on the biggest stages in the world. And they have put together a really impressive effort for their first time here at Daytona. They've been there or thereabouts from the first time they rolled off the truck at the Raw last week. And now battling for the lead on the high banks.
That is so cool. They're separated by a tenth of a second on that last lap. We've been green, by the way, since 6:30 this morning. It's now, what's the time? Local time now is 11:45.
The next sound you'll hear, ladies and gentlemen, is Jeremy Shaw being hit with a bit of 2x4.
I've been trying not to say it for a long time, but I felt I had to, just because it's remarkable. We've got, you know, better part of 6 hours, well over 5 hours here, and the gaps are still so close. In LMP2, Colton Herta, his lead over Frederick Habsburg is 28 seconds. It's been that for hours, it seems like. But number 52 car, Nicolas Lapierre, slipped back somewhat and is right directly ahead of the number 81 car on the pit lane. There is the battle of the two cars coming out of the inner horseshoe, and number 52 car, Nicolas Lapierre, not leaving any room at all for Devlin. It's Colton Herta, excuse me, at the wheel of the number 81 car that leads the class. So Colton Herta is trying to put a lap on Nicolas Lapierre in the pole sitting car.
And meantime, a problem, and it's a major problem for the fourth place, number 13 in its class. That's Matty Bell for AWA in the Duquesne. There's steam, smoke, or something coming out of the left rear of that car. Looks like there may have been a little bit of contact. I think there's a little bit of loose bodywork at the back there. I initially thought it was just a brake problem. Matt Bell has pulled up, but there is, that's not good. And if he can't move that from there, we will get a full course yellow as I stride across. Good job that I have to have social distancing here. I've got a 6 foot piece of wood that I'm going to poke you with. Now, the words barely out of Shaw's mouth. Just under an hour and 56 minutes to go. The Jumbo Team Netherlands car, the number 29, into the pit lane. Rinus Vicky coming in there to receive service. Just waiting for that car to move on. Got the binoculars out for the far side to see if we've had
yellow,
any
yet.
Movement. No yellow yet. I think it's moving again.
And here come the GT
GTD Pro.
Yeah, leaders battle in together. Nine ahead of the number two. Yep.
That's exactly how they have been racing. Yep. Now, what do you do here for that? Do you dare short fill and try and get the jump? Pfaff waiting. Pfaff are down and away. The nine is rolling. Now, where is the KCMG? Just coming out in front of it on the pit lane. No, gone. Gone. That was a short fill, I think, for the Pfaff car. And KCMG caught napping just a little bit there. So nine out ahead of the two. And it's a bit bigger gap than when they came in. So, and Renger van der Zander coming in for a splash of fuel, I'm told, at the moment. Shea Adam, what's that all about?
I just saw the 10 Konica Minolta Acura rolling back down the pit lane, as well as the Meyer Shank Racing Acura. 12 seconds worth of fuel for the black one. The pink one took 9 seconds worth of fuel. And the full course caution is out. Go ahead and hit Jeremy.
Yeah, full course caution is out for the Matt Bell machine stuck on the back straight, as we reported. So they've come in and splashed with fuel now to get out before the full course caution came out. That's really heads up for both of the teams there, the Conyngham Minolta Acura and the Meyer Shank Racing Acura, Ricky Taylor and Tom Blomqvist.
Yeah, and it's also very much heads up there for the for race control. They waited to give everybody an opportunity. They made all the teams aware there was a problem, and that we might be going full course caution. They then gave everybody effectively one lap to decide whether or not they wanted to come onto the pit lane. Some did, some didn't. That to me was really rather interesting.
And in you might say, well, doesn't that compromise safety? In fairness, that car is behind two tyre barriers on the back straight.
Plus, they made it very clear to everybody on the pit lane. They have an instant messaging system. Everybody would have known, that would have been told that was the case. So, you know, they there were probably double yellows down there in any case, that's not the way it works over here, but there were probably a yellow flag was probably waved there in any case. Can't see that far, but if they knew about it, so great call all around.
Shea Adam has news on the stopped car.
I checked in with Trevor McClure, the guy on the box for AWA, and he said, we think it's a drive shaft. The good news is it's a quick fix. We are not giving up. They have a board on their pit box that's been counting down the hours. They just erased Dale to go and wrote two. They're not done with this race yet.
Okay, thank you, Shea.
Yeah, but they had got themselves to within one lap of the lead, that AWA team.
How annoying.
Really, really good effort. They had some difficulties early on. Various difficulties earlier, but got themselves pretty much back into contention.
See if we could get use this time before the pits open to get a quick couple of interviews down on the pit lane. I know Joe was down at Team Yorkshire, United Autosport, down on the pit lane, but they might be getting a little bit busy with pit stops coming down. Richard Dean. I don't think I've heard Richard while I've been in the booth. Joe, let's have a word with the team principal of United Autosport.
Let's get the summary of the race. Richard, United Autosport have become a team that's kind of gotten used to winning. However, it's days like this, I suppose, that makes the winning more glorious.
Yeah, something like that. I like how you've glossed that up.
You like that? Do you like that spin? You can use that.
I feel a whole lot better. it's been, pretty tough for us to be in contention right from the start. We lost quite a few laps early on, and we haven't been able to sort of get them back. It's been a bit static for a while.
How do you keep the boys and girls motivated in a situation like this where, you know, you're in contention coming into this and then it ebbs away from you?
Just usual Yorkshire tea and a few snacks here that we brought in from England, and you know, everybody's motivated still. There's always a race to still go for, isn't there? You've got to keep on your toes all the way through it. Opportunities still to have.
Yeah, you've always got to be looking. 2022, another busy year for you boys and girls. Tell me about what's in store, because we're always looking forward in this business, aren't we? Don't look back.
Yeah, a busy programme here. The four IMSA races that we're going to do here, that we're absolutely loving. Our second season doing the endurance race.
So that's all the longer, the Enduros?
Yeah, the four endurance races. We'll do all of those. It's one P2 car. We've got two cars in WEC, one car in ELMS. So those are just the LMP2 cars. We've got, obviously, a lot of LMP3 cars in various championships and round of the Asian Le Mans as well that we'll be doing. So we go from here straight to Abu Dhabi for some testing and Asian Le Mans.
What's your thoughts on the GTP classification for next year, and of course the big class at Le Mans, the LMH LMDH? Not any sights set on moving up?
I've got my sights set on it, but it hasn't quite worked out for us. I mean, there's still opportunities to be had there, but we sort of missed out on the big ones, but we're pushing hard, and I think, you know, between now and 2024 there's still some opportunities to be had. So for us it's just a simple case that we've got to keep presenting ourselves well and keep winning, and if we can keep at the front in all the categories we do, then maybe we'll get an opportunity to compete in the top class and hopefully GTP as well.
I remember when you told me you didn't have your sights set on LMP2, it was too early, and then 6 months later there you were. I know you as a bit of a driver, and everybody our age does. You've got your backside in a few historic cars. Have you got anything planned for the coming season to do that?
We're pretty busy, you know. We've got so many races. I think we've got something like 38 or 40 weekends out of 52 where we're active. So for me to add a few races in, well, it would be a nice thought. You know, maybe a weekend at home on those, yeah. or that handful of weekends that we're not at a racetrack. But I'll certainly get in a car because we've got a busy restoration side of the business, and usually one of those cars, when it's finished, I'm about the only person who can fit in it to do a shakedown. So, you know, it's a nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, a bit of fun as well. Keep my hand in.
Yeah. Great stuff. Wish it was in better circumstances, mate. Wish we were, you know, talking in contention, but that's motor racing, I think, is the saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can't win them all, as they say. Eh?
Nope. Thanks, Richard. Always a pleasure.
Motor racing, not motor winning, isn't it? That was a barbed comment, wasn't it? Oh, I'm the only one who can get in them. The older cars. Saucer of milk table for one there. Richard Dean, good to hear the dulcet tones of Richard Dean, Yorkshire's finest, in the United Autosport pit.
Whose father was very well known over here, of course, the old Can-Am days. Memorably won a race at, I think it was Road Atlanta, in a Porsche 908 against all the big McLarens.
1970, that was it? Something like that?
Yeah, around about there.
Amazing stuff. Talking about Tiffany Dale earlier on, and a few people saying, you know, we should get Tiff back if he's a bronze driver. A great opportunity, of course, in the future. I mean, we were talking to President John Doonan, IMSA President John Doonan, about this earlier in our broadcast, with IMSA now having acquired HSR and helping to promote and run some of the meetings. Brian Hinton done a fantastic job down through the years there. That's what we need Tiff back for. Get reacquaint himself of cars that he was used to seeing a few years ago. He would love that, and he would love the circuits over here as well. Pit stops, and we are off and running again. Who's at pit in? Shea Adam has the Dragon Speed number 81 in the pit lane.
This is fuel only. They have opened the passenger side door, if it would be. Actually, no, I think that's the side the driver gets in on normally on the LMP2, the right side. They pulled something out that might have been, it was a water bottle that they handed in to Colton Herta, just to give him a little bit of extra hydration, but he's handed that back, waiting on the fuel. Fuel nozzle's out. They're telling him not to go. Now go, go, go. Try and beat out the Whelen Engineering Cadillac, and he does with ease.
Thank you, Shea. Also, red light at the end of the pit lane, and Tom Blomqvist sees it and stops, pulling up behind him Richard Westbrook, then Colton Herta, and behind that the number 31 of Mike Conway. Ricky Taylor stayed out there, Jeremy Shaw did not pit. The other three DPIs on the lead lap have come in, but that was, of course, they were just in not so very long ago for a quick splash.
The number 10 and number 60 came in right before the caution period. Number 10 this time stayed out. Number 60, interestingly, came in and topped off. I presume it's just a top off rather than having a difficulty. So it'll probably get out ahead of the other two. And I was talking before, weren't I, that number 10 and number 60 were looking good strategy-wise in any case. I think from here, when we go back to green, they should be able to just about make it, I think, on the one more pit stop. And I think that'll be the same for everybody. So I reckon it's probably going to be a flat-out race from the end to the end from here. I don't think... Where are we now? One about 45 minutes to go. So... 30... Oh, where are we? 30, yeah. How many minutes is that?
An hour and 45 is 60, 105, yeah.
Divide that into two is what? 50. So they do need to make two more
and
stops.
A half.
Yeah, right. So they do need to make two stops from here. Thank you.
Sorry, but you're asking me to do... it's not exactly quadratic equations, I know. But in my... Listen, I'm befuddled anyway. And lack of sleep and old age doesn't make it any easier, Jeremy. Really doesn't. In GT D Pro, it's the Ricci Competizione Ferrari that has cycled to the front after the pit stops for the two Porsches. But presumably, Jeremy, that's a little bit off kilter there from the two Porsches, which stopped not too long ago. 27 laps for James Calado, so I'm sure he will take advantage. Jaminet and Vanto, I think, we're in just a couple of laps. ago before that stop. Joe Bradley's lurking around the Risi Competizione pit. Great to see the Penzoil Ferrari of Houston, number 62, back in IMSA competition, Joe. All right, it's a GTD rather than a GT Le Mans car, but Giuseppe Risi's team, as far as I'm concerned, welcome anywhere they want to come and race.
Absolutely, and doesn't that Ferrari look splendid? The 62
really
Risi
does.
Car coming onto its apron. Now the Penzoil logo on the front of the bonnet, so poignant really, and taking us back to Halcyon Days. Just behind me, the Pfaff Porsche number 9 is in also. We're seeing a driver change in the 62 Ferrari, no driver change in the Pfaff number 9 Porsche. I'll check on who the driver was that got in. So top three in GTD, all in the pits at the same time. The Pfaff Porsche was gone by dint of not changing driver, my estimation would be. We're still getting to the end of the Ferrari. Still got fuel still going in, so less fuel needed in the number 9 Porsche. That might be significant, as it only pitted 2 laps ago. That's a significant fact. Oh, he stalls. The 62 Ferrari stalls. And he stalls again. It's firing. But as he lets the clutch out, now he revs it.
Fuel and tires for Wright Motorsport and Jan Halen. They looked like scrubbed rubber, though, so I'm going to have to check in with the team, because that would be an interesting decision at this stage in the race. Jan was not slowed down, though. He was the second car out of his pit box, third car in line, and that means that he is the first of GTD regular.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, team. So, top three coming in. As we know, the two Porsches weren't in very long ago. So, Jaminet and Vanto, no choice but to stay in because they weren't going to be standing still very long. Risi Competizione came in. They needed a longer stop. James has got out of the car. Collado with Bradley.
Yeah, just having a little bit of a conflab with Davide Rigon. It's Pierre Guidi who got in the car to take it to the finish. James, hello, mate. I haven't spotted you all week. So far, so good. I don't want to say anything. I might hex it.
I've no idea, mate. It's so complex here in America. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, you're in contention. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, let's see. We're struggling a bit, actually, on pace, but let's see. We're still there or thereabouts.
So major track differences when that horrible cold weather went and the track started to warm up, everything back to what we would consider normal?
Cold weather was better for us. We got turbo engine, so it's much better. The Porsches seem to go better in the warmer conditions. They've got better traction as well. Starting to struggle a little bit with tire wear. But let's see, mate. Anything can happen, you know. Yellows, crashes, you know, anything can happen. So let's see.
Is that set of tyres going to take this car to the end? I know the driver is.
No chance. No, we're not on proper tyres this time, mate.
Right, thanks, James.
By that, he means that it is the customer tyres rather than the confidential. Everybody on the same here. It's taken that out of it. That side of things out of it as we get the final wave by. Midday, high noon. Now, who is going to be fastest on the draw for the last 100 minutes? Who has got their sharpshooters in the car as we head to the showdown? And the winners of the 60th Rolex 24 hours of Daytona. We'll take you there live and without interruption here on RS2 IMSA Radio, Sirius XM 202, 107.9 around the circuit, www.imsaradio.com for sound and vision for those of you without TV deals in your car. It's a beautiful morning, really great visibility all the way out across the Intercoastal Waterway and to A1A, where all the beach hotels are here. Many of the teams and journalists staying over that side of things. I suspect there'll be a lot of tired people in restaurants around the area tonight. Face down in bowls of soup after this weekend. Really hasn't been any let up. Joe Bradley, before we go back to green, Ferdinand Habsburg out of the Dragon, out of the Tower prototype.
Yeah, the number 8 Tower events car. Ferdinand Habsburg, I've never spotted you all weekend, Ferdinand. You've been in and out of the car, obviously. Is your job done for the day?
Yep, I'm going to go and shower and get changed and just cross my fingers. We're on the lead lap now. But I really am still kind of confused of the situation. what's going on. I think we'll all know what's going on as soon as the safety car goes away.
Okay, mate, I'm going to let you go and get freshened up. You look like you've been working hard. Thanks for talking to us. Car just in for a splash and dash before we go green, I think.
Yeah, I have to find out what that's all about, but hopefully it's a good thing.
Volker Holtzmeier, welcome to IMSA. Welcome to the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. The president of Porsche Motorsport North America, it's a big role to fill, but what a successful debut here for the Cayman 718 CS. That was a fantastic race that we had on Friday.
Yeah, first of all, it was a market introduction worldwide, so it's always a big moment for us, and it worked out perfectly. The engineering teams of the street car and the race car in Weiser did a wonderful job. We listened to the customer feedback, and we didn't have to change the whole car, just listen to our customers, take the feedback, make the transfer from race car to the street car business, and we just did little things which made a big difference for this car in a very growing, I think, very important strategic field for our customer racing.
And very nearly swept the podium on the debut too, finishing first, second, and fourth, was it, in the race?
Yeah, I mean, you never can expect to have such a market introduction. First of all, we have to make sure that the customers are happy with the cars and they are technologically running, so everything went fine. And that the performance also was there. So even imagine the teams, they got the cars 3 weeks ago. So to bring them up to that speed, I'm really thankful that the customers worked out that good with our new car. So I have to thank them.
And now a lot of success in this race as well, in GTD Pro and GTD running very well right now. What does that mean to the brand as a whole to have the success at Daytona?
I mean, Daytona is a well-known, one of the most iconic races. So having it's like the farewell party for this model, because next year we're going to introduce a new GT3R. So it's awesome what our teams do. Even having the success last season with Pfaff and Wright, and now our teams continuing to show how capable that car is. We're very proud of our customers.
You mentioned next year, so I have to ask about the LMDH program. The details starting to come out about that car, particularly the engine. I'm interested why it's a street car engine base instead of a bespoke race car engine.
I think the information we go out wasn't that way. So it's not a street car engine. So I think that will be corrected in the time. But basically we said it's a V8 engine, but not it's a street car engine.
Large capacity, I love it, because you think back to the Spyder days and the success of that engine moving forward. So Porsche knows how to build a good engine, and that should be successful going forward as well.
Yeah, absolutely. This is new. The new top class coming in 23, going with factory racing and also customer racing. So that's the new target, and this will for sure, I think it will shape the motorsport landscape in a pretty good direction. With ACO and IMSA working together that close, we love this project.
Well, we found out the other day that the new class is going to be called GTP, so surely the new car should be called a 962, right?
Yeah, of course, the naming is a very interesting topic, but we are not that, we didn't communicate anything. And
not there yet. Well, hey, enjoy the end of this race. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and go Porsche.
Thank you very much.
Oh, come on, we've got a sweepstake going on. I've got 920, and I'm thinking, come on, and the last one was a 919. Surely it's got to be 920. I've got that in the speed. Thank you, Volker Holtzmeier, for that. So that's interesting. So not a street car engine, but a large capacity V8 is what we're hearing for that LMDH, the spine and the drivetrain shared with Audi, of course. Porsche doing all of the development work on that base car. Audi will develop their own aero package and styling, and subsequently as will any other Volkswagen AG brands, group brands that decide to come in, and of course they'll use that as well. Coming down to 95 minutes, we're completing the final lap around, as we are coming to, well, I was going to say down to the last knockings, not quite yet, but I tell you what, there's plenty of racing still to go here. BMW is pulling away, the M4 with that very striking Sao Paulo yellow paint. That car has pulled away, therefore it's Ricky Taylor who brings the field around with Tom Blomqvist, Loic Duval, Mike Conway just pit tonight. We've got a little snafu on the timing because Mike Conway is still being shown in the pits at the moment, but we'll call it as we see it as they come back to green across the start-finish line. Acura number 10 down into the first corner, side by side, right behind them for second and third position, and the 60 goes to the high side. Tom Blomqvist protecting the Acura 1-2 as they go through turns 1 and 2 down towards the International Horseshoe. The prototype field are through the potential black spot of the first corner. There go the GTD field as well. So that's good news. Good restart from Ricky Taylor. Has managed to pull himself away from the rest of the field.
And I'm not saying I'm smarter than computers, but I think the scoring has gone a bit haywire here. I believe that rather than the number 10 and or the number 60 being one lap ahead of number 5 and 31, I think they're all on the same lap. I think this is a battle for the lead, and they're all pretty much nose to tail at that restart. So I'm not going to regard the scoring at the moment.
Well,
and in LMP2, ditto, top. Well, although the scoring is right there, the top three, 81, 8 and 52, absolutely together. In LMP3, the number 74 car does have a one lap lead now over the number 54 and the number 33, which are battling nose to tail for second.
One thing I would say, Jeremy, don't forget the number 10 Cunningham and Alta Acura didn't stop in that last run through the yellows. It stayed out when all of the others came in, but it was, I didn't think it was that far ahead to have made up a lap. There was a red light at the end of the pit lane. Penalty for rotation on the jacks. Pit lane penalties have been a story of the day. We're talking about that in Michelin post-race tech later on. Hashtag Michelin PRT. Jordan Pepper for Inception McLaren. Been running so well, that car, but just dropping away from the sharp end of the GT Daytona field in the last hour or so. The battle at the front of the field, however, is absolutely not dying down.
How long were they waiting at the end of the pit exit, John? It wasn't a minute or more, was it?
I honestly don't know, Jeremy.
I wasn't looking that way. No. I mean, that's the only thing that it could have been.
That's my thought. That's my only...
Because the 10 and the number 60 came in before the caution, pretty much together, within a couple of seconds of each other. Then they went out, then they got behind the safety car, and then everybody came in except for the number 10. So I don't see how it could be a lap ahead of everybody else.
Well, but see what happens.
Maybe I missed something.
It does mean that they're off kilter by a pit stop at least to the other three cars in contention in DPI.
Only a lap or so fuel difference there. Yeah, two laps of fuel difference there. The number 31 car was a lot. That did come in again to splash with fuel. So that's better off than everybody else. And with an hour and 31 minutes to go, that's going to be very, very tight to get to the end with... Yeah, they'll need two stops from here.
Through to the last 90 minutes. Fourth position for Mike Conway in the red and white Whelan Engineering Cadillac.
Not getting lap times either at the moment.
Yeah, as I said, I think things have locked up a little bit because it was, as we were coming back to green, the timing screen was still showing the 31 in the pit, so we'll call what we can see on the circuit. Still the battle. One thing I can tell you, the battle in GTD Pro, the two Porsches from Pfaff and KCMG, well, they continue the entertainment. It's Pfaff, the number 9 red plaid car that leads from the blue, black and white. They're down at the International Horseshoe. Who's that right in behind them as well? Now, that's a car that's not in the fight. That's the right Porsche. They're a little bit further back and they are not in the same category. They are, in fact, leading in GT Daytona, although a couple of laps back for the two cars, but leading its own category. So Porsche doing very nicely at the moment, first and second in GTD Pro and leading GTD. Holtzmeier will be delighted with that new head of Porsche Motorsport North America, and we should say hello to his predecessor, Dr. Daniel Ambruster, what a tenure he had in that job, bringing us the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by visitcaymanislands.com, and the new 992 Cup car last year. First time we've had a Carrera Cup North America. Down underneath the line, Racing Team Netherlands side by side with the Dragon Speed car going into turn one, and that's a pass, and that is a pass for position, as Louis Delatraz has taken the lead in LMP2. Colton Herter could not get down and close the door. Delatraz gets the hammer down in the Jumbo sponsored car.
No, the Jumbo car is Rinus VK, John. I think he's trying to get back on the lead lap. I think he is now back on the
excuse
lead
me.
Lap. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah,
excuse
okay.
me. Absolutely.
Yeah. So he's been that team has been battling too far. No, that's easily mistaken. The number 29 car, they've been battling. They were two laps down, then they were one lap down, and Rinus VK has absolutely been flying. And he took advantage of that caution to get onto the tail of those lead cars, and now he's got that lap back again.
Yeah. So apologies for that from me, but that's a good point. He's back on the lead lap, and that could be crucial if another yellow comes out. The Tower Motorsport Louis Delatraz guy showing it just a second back from the lead, and then another 2.4 seconds back to PR1 and the 52 wins car.
Yeah, it's close, but, isn't it? In fact, they have changed position. The number 8 car has gone ahead of number 52 since the
restart.
Since the restart.
Yeah. A reset going on. If you're watching on IMSA.com, the timing, I think we're just going through a little control, alt, delete. Thanks to our colleagues at Alcamel for getting us all the information.
Yeah, good stuff. 34-6 then last time round for our race leader. And it's now caught up. So we have Blomqvist in number 60 car. Number 5 car is Loic Duval. Mike Conway, number 31, nose to tail this battle for the lead with an hour and 27 minutes to go.
And top four on the lap, as Jeremy suggested. 7:13 gone down. Look, it's Sunday morning. Even the timing computers can need an extra cup of coffee here and there. Battle for the lead in GTD Pro. Cross the line through the tri-oval, now down to the infield, round the outside for KCMG. We've seen this battle so many times in all of the classes, loving the fact that the right Porsche is sitting in there. Jan Heerlen's got a grandstand view of the battle for the lead. Lawrence Vanto second for KCMG in the pro category. Matthew Jaminier for Pfaff Motorsports. Jan Heerlen sitting there, I'm sure Jan Heerlen will be just giggling to himself watching this ahead of him. Super driver and great series and season for him last year. I think there's an onboard camera on that 16 right car, so might get some shots from that for those of you with the international feed. Through turn 6, nasty little bump at the apex there on the kerb. 3 Porsches, first and second in GTD Pro on Speedway turn 1 and first in GTD as they go out there. So the unlapping manoeuvre, back on the lead lap for Racing Team Netherlands. Little bit of a slide on the yellow line for Rinus VK as he went down the inside of Colton Herter. So Colton not needing to fight that fight right now. That was not a pass for position, despite what this commentator said, so apologies for misleading you on that one.
Look at this battle here between the two Acuras. This is for the lead of the race.
Down the inside, the Sirius XM pink and white car gets a nose ahead, but will the black and blue number 10 get the run? They do. There's a little bit of side drafting, weaving around down to the Le Mans chicane. Inside line is favoured here, and inside line takes the lead. New leader, another change of leader. We're well into the 30s of lead changes.
Many more than that.
Yeah.
I stopped counting. Well, you told me to go away, so I went away. I did what I was told.
Yeah, no, too. We ran out of fingers and toes in between Jeremy and I, so that's brilliant. But all
two
of
in the morning, it would be 32 changes.
All right, okay, yeah. So at the line, the lead had changed by turn one. It may go back again round the outside and a little lock-up for Ricky Taylor. But he couldn't get the car stopped in turn one. This is magnificent stuff. Absolutely magnificent stuff. But what it's allowing is the JDC Miller car to close up. Top four absolutely together now. On the run down to the kink on the infield.
There was perhaps a second between the two Acuras and the two Cadillacs on the last lap, but with that infighting between the two of them, the Cadillacs are right there and they're going to be coming up to traffic for most of the next hour and 23 minutes.
I tell you what, Jeremy, running side by side really does, you're really sure how much that slows the cars down. And we're back onto the same place. Second and third now battling it out. Cadillac down the inside on the low side. Get to the low side because that becomes the inside for the Le Mans chicane.
Again, that traction off of turn six up onto the banking. And then as they get off the banking, the Acura's got good straight line speed. But this time...
Interesting. Cadillac holds its own. That actually looked a little bit easier than we've seen in the preceding 22 and a half hours. And straight through and pulling away for Loic Duval. Blomqvist and Ricky Taylor battling it out. Didn't do the Acura cause any good there with Loic Duval and Mike Conway in the Cadillacs closing them down. Remember, the number 10 car, they are on the go for four. Meantime in GTD Pro Plaid Porsche and the KCMG car, that's Pfaff and KCMG, and a little bit of grass tracking there from Lawrence Vanto through the kink. For a moment he might have thought he was ahead there, but Mathieu Jaminet held his line. Right, I've decided now I need an extra head and pair of eyes for what's going in there. I think Jaminet was ahead going into the kink, but he was on the less than optimal outside line, the right hand side of the circuit, and therefore all Mathieu Jaminet had to do was hold on of it. It was great traction coming out of the International Horseshoe for the black, white and blue car. Yeah, it was half a Porsche up. But half a Porsche is not enough going into the kink. A little bit of dirt being thrown up there. Dirt is up the right side. Michelin's for a couple of laps. 81 and a half minutes to go. Jaminet, Vanto, Hawksworth, by the way, still in third position for Vasa Sullivan, or in third position ahead of Risi competition. Sandro Pergidi.
Yeah.
In fourth now, ahead of Austin Sindrick for Proton USA Mercedes. The number 15 in fifth.
And you were talking about the Risi Competizione Ferrari just a little while ago. That car stayed out before the caution period to get right back up into it. It had been a lap down before the two Porsches made a stop right before the caution. So that got number 62 car back on the lead lap. They then took on a splash of fuel. So that is why the Risi car is at the back of that train, right behind the number 14 car of Jack Hawksworth. And I'm not sure that those two has anything for the Porsches at this stage, but it certainly isn't over yet between that top four. Is Pergidi ahead now? He's got ahead of Jack Hawksworth. Okay.
Yeah, fighting back in that 62 on the last lap around, and has pulled away to the tune of 1.235 engine. Hello to René Deboer. Hello, René. Hope all is well with you and the family. Missing you here. Just regarding our engine conversation with Director of President of Porsche Motorsport North America. The Porsche press release said we were spoiled for choice with the engine for the LMDH prototype because the product range offers several promising baseline units. To me, says René, that sounds like a production engine. Well, maybe a base for a production engine, but you heard that quite clearly. Also, hello to Marion and Sandra Champagne, who are shoveling snow at the moment when we've got sunshine here, ladies. And it's chilly, but the track's nice and warm. And At the moment, 30 degrees Celsius in the sunshine, that track. And the air temperature, a heady 10 degrees Celsius. Side by side in GTD Pro, coming out of the International Horseshoe again. And once again, the outside line chosen by the KCMG driver. It's brilliant, this. Vanto keeps trying, but he's on the wrong side of the track through the kink. And maybe a chance for a little bit of a schmozzle here as the leader of the race, Tom Blomqvist, comes through the battle for the lead in GTD Pro. Jeremy Shaw.
I'm wondering what happened to Loic Duval, because all of a sudden he's gone from second. In this last lap, he went from second to fourth. He's been overtaken by both Ricky Taylor and Mike Conway.
Yeah, so a mistake somewhere. Looking at his sector times, doesn't look middle sector, 2 seconds off.
Right.
And a second off in the final sector as well. So
maybe got dive bombed at the.
News of the PR1 Matheson number 11 as an official retirement now. Been in the pits for a wee while. The number 11, then an official retirement from the 60th. Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. Battle for the lead and the podium places coming back around underneath the Haggerty Global broadcast booth down in the first corner. And now for a moment with no traffic ahead of them. 60, 10 and 31. Meyershank Racing Acura. Ricky Taylor in the Conyngham Minolta Acura. Whelan Engineering Cadillac. And 3.5 seconds further back, Loic Duval for JDC Miller Motorsport, yeah. The number 5 car.
A 37.7 that time for Duval. We're going to have to keep an eye on that one. He's got some clear track now, each of the prototype cars, I think, and see if he can claw back that deficit. Just two laps ago, he's running in second place now, 3.5 seconds behind.
Yeah, he's looking racing as well.
Second and third, very much so. Yeah, he's been doing a fabulous job as Loic Duval.
As you'd expect, quite
well,
frankly.
Of course, true.
Very highly regarded in the world of prototype racing. Former Audi works driver, of course. He's to the LMP1 hybrids and mixing it with the real superstars of the time, the previous set of top-class prototype regulations. You've got to think he'll be in the frame for something in the new GTP era here in IMSA Racing. Still, the battle goes on between the two Porsches. Jan Heerlen still sitting in behind going, no, I'm quite happy here, thanks. I'm not getting involved in that. No way, no how.
And he, of course, is leading a GTD regular as well, and he's extending his lead over the Ferrari of Nicholas Nielsen. It's now up to over 5 seconds. Over the last 8 or 10 laps.
And Andy Lally back into third for Magnus Racing Aston Martin Vantage. Not been a clean run for them, but they've kept on digging. And third place at the moment, their reward with a decent gap, almost 100 seconds back to Scott Andrews and the Gilbert Courthoff Motorsport Mercedes, who've got a couple of laps on Jordan Pepper and the Inception Racing McLaren next in that GTD standard category.
Yeah, that car had some problems not too long ago, but Andy Lally certainly he's slipping back, I think, just little by little from the both the Porsche and the Ferrari. But it has been a really good performance once again for that Magnus Racing team.
At IMSA Radio, don't forget the hashtag Michelin PRT for your questions, comments, points arising. This one bubbling up nicely. Just keeping an eye on that battle for the lead in the overall as well. Shea Adam spotting something down in the pit lane, Shea.
The 19 Lamborghini was just very slow going into turn one through the tri-oval. And, oh, by the way, we've got a pit board down. Second in GTD, the Ferrari for A, of course, number 21, will be coming to see me shortly for fuel and at least one tyre.
At least one tyre, okay.
Well, that's too soon to be able to get to the
end
of this race.
Yeah, if it's one tyre that's laid out, that might suggest that they think they have
for sure
a puncture or something like that. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that AF course of the lighter red of the two Ferraris that are out there. This battle in LMP2 continues with Tower Motorsport just half a second behind Colton Herter. Louis Delatraz then pushing on the Tower car. Colton Herter for Dragon Speed. And at the front of the field, 1.6 seconds. Tom Blomqvist to Ricky Taylor, 1.1 seconds. Ricky Taylor to Mike Conway, 3.6 seconds. Back to Loic Duval.
Yeah, 1 minute 34.7 there for Tom Blomqvist. That's the best lap we've had in a little while. And he's got that gap back to over a second at least.
Right, straight.
Three Porsches just running a lockstep, aren't they, there with the FAF car ahead of the KCMG Porsche. That's the battle for the lead in GTD Pro, but right tucked in behind them is Jan Halen, once again doing a magnificent job for Wright Motorsports.
And just going through that at the moment, 52, third place Mikkel Jensen, PR on Matheson Motorsport, the wins car, trying to bridge the almost 4 second gap between the battling first and second. He is on the same lap.
Oh yeah.
And that is still very much a live battle going down the back straight now. Are the two leaders in LMP2, the very bright yellow and orange Dragon Racing car and the Tower Motorsport tangerine black and white for those cars. This has been a cracking battle, and it shows at the moment no possibility of a let up for anybody. They're all staring at the timing screen, staring at the screens down in the pit lane. Both teams, it's a bit like when you're at a stick and ball game, you're watching the end of this, and if you're superstitious you can't move. Everything's, particularly if you're leading at the moment, nobody's going to move. Don't you dare get out of that chair. We're doing all right at the moment. There's a lot of superstition in paddocks.
Yeah, and Louis Delatraz, he's really putting the pressure on Colton Herter in that battle for the lead in LMP2. The Dragon Speed USA team, a really strong lineup with three IndyCar drivers, along with Eric Lux, who did a superb first stint in that car. And then Devlin DiFrancesco, Pato O'Ward and Colton Herter, who have all raced in Indy Lights over the last few years. And Colton Herter has been massively impressive over the last three years since graduating from Indy Lights after being beaten to the championship by Pato. And he has really made a name for himself in the IndyCar series. Devlin DiFrancesco is making his step up from Indy Lights this season. And of course, Pato O'Ward not only has been starring in the IndyCars over the last year or two, he also had a very, very impressive test for McLaren in the F1 car towards the end of last year. 34-3 that time for Tom Blomqvist.
Yeah, that's at the
all of a
front
sudden
of the
it's
field.
Almost three seconds now
over
Ricky Taylor. But still, yeah, they won't be panicking here. Maybe if the number 10 car can save a little bit of fuel, that still could be critical in this race, John.
Flexible strategy. We talked about in Porsche Keys to the Race. What are you going to do? Where's your best chance of getting past somebody? It might be in the pits. You have to think that way. But right now, with an hour and 11 minutes to go, what have we got? Probably two pit stops for the DPIs?
Yeah, I think they'll be in pretty shortly now. And then one more stop after that.
So what have we got? 70 minutes coming up. That's 2:30. Even I can work that one. A 2:35 minute stint. That's about bang on, Jeremy, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
We found that out at the Raw.
Yeah.
35, probably okay. 40, not so much.
Well, 37 is probably okay. 40, definitely.
Certainly not at full speed.
You're absolutely right.
And the kind of race we've seen in the last few hours has been full speed. You're going to have to be full speed there. We've seen cars running out of fuel on the last lap here in the past. I remember that.
Yep. Yeah, no, this is they can go full rich from here, I think, and just get on with the case. This is absolutely fascinating. A motor race that has been unfolding before our eyes for 22 hours and 50 minutes now.
0.6 seconds taken away from the leader in GTD, Wright Motorsport, Jan Halen. He's behind that battle for GTD Pro, and he's not making any moves to get by, of course. I don't think he wants to get involved in it. Nicholas Nielsen's been given the hurry up. Joe Bradley has the number 5. The Mustang sampling Cadillac in the pit lane, Joe, looks like full service.
John, but without the service of a driver, just fuel the tyres. I did notice the car pulls off the pit apron, brand new unscrubbed rubber going on that number five. Fourth place for that car, just dropping off the back of the top three, isn't it?
Yeah,
but having lost that 3 seconds or so, he was able to maintain that gap over the last six laps until his pit stop.
25 seconds stationary, so not quite a full complement of fuel needed, but that will have been brim filled. Don't think that's been short filled. He was probably four laps shy of a full stint there, so that gives you an idea of where the five seconds short of pit stop came from. Fuel flow, by the way, very carefully monitored by IMSA. It is part of balance of performance if required. And all of the fuel rigs are looked at to make sure they are even. And minimum fueling time for a full tank of fuel mandated in the supplementary regulations. So, at the front of the field...
Yeah, against regular 34s here from Tom Blomqvist.
He's just last, knocking them out, isn't he?
Yeah, the last three laps, 33.34, 34.84, 34.94. And so he's doing exactly what is required for him at the moment. He's extended that lead from, well, next to nothing, around about half a second it was on lap 720. Five laps later, it's 3.6 seconds. And that will, you know, it's just makes you feel good, I think, at this stage in the race.
So you go as long as you... We've seen that part of the tactics there by the number five. They've stopped at the first opportunity, I reckon, to go with one more stop.
Yeah.
At the front of the field, do you now go as long as you can on this fuel and then perhaps not have to fulfill towards the end? I mean, this is absolute classic endurance racing as you get into the end of a 24-hour race.
Absolutely it is. You're gambling now, because if there's a full course caution comes out right now, then the cars that have not made their pit stop are going to be behind those that have already made the pit stop.
Joe Bradley has been speaking to the teams down there. Bradley, what do you reckon?
Well, I've got the number 10 team, the Conaghan and all the cars on pit road. The number 60 has gone through. That Mayor Shank team, not ready for their car. However, Conaghan and Alta, Acura into the pits now. It's fuel and tyres, a little bit of adjustment going in to something in the cockpit, not sure what that is. And the good news is the tyres are on, the fuel is still going in. Probably a drinks bottle, that little, or maybe the data card, we'll find out. But the good news is that, and a little bit of a delay, but not too much of a delay, because everything's done. Car off the jacks, fuel still going in, always a good sign. And then get those tyres scrubbed as it pulls off the apron. All good at the number 10.
Seemed like a long time, but was it?
31 seconds. That's a full complement of fuel. Absolutely full complement of fuel for that car. So that'll take them probably 35 to 37 minutes, which is going to give them 36 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah. So their last stop will probably be a little bit quicker than the other contenders. Well, than perhaps than the number five car that came in already. This is fascinating.
It really is. 60 car due in this time around, I reckon. Is the undercut going to work for Loic Duvall? He dropped a little bit of time. He was the first one in. Here comes the leader onto pit road. And Joe Bradley, this is the penultimate scheduled stop for Acura number 60.
It's the Mayor Shank team's turn now. The number 60 just pulling up in front of me. Now, we take this for granted, but there's all sorts of things can go wrong. The edge axe can fail. Oh, and we're getting a driver change. We are getting a driver change on the number 60. So that should be done by the time the fueling's done. A full quarter of fuel is what we're expecting. The fuel is still on. The wheels are on. The front wheels are on. The rear wheels are on. It's off the jacks. Just the belts being helped to be tightened up. Not sure who that was that took over. Door shut. Fuel is still on there. Engine on the limiter. And away it goes.
Well, perfect pit stop, because, as ever, the fuel should be the determining factor. 29 seconds, that was standing still. That's the display on the side of the car. And the P2 leader into the pit lane with Shea Adam.
This is fuel and tires for Colton Herta. Good luck getting him out of this car. It is Dragon Speed's number 81 machine that is visible from space with the orange and the yellow on it. They are doing the right side tires first. Ooh, windshield tear off. They are spoiling Colton for this last stint, or two stints, I should say. Left side tire change going on now, again with the drinks bottle coming in through the right side door during the pit stop. I wonder if they're having a drinks bottle malfunction, or perhaps their drivers just want maybe a warm water bottle, because I'd imagine being in that race car, it's got to be pretty chilly after being overnight. Waiting on the fuel. Colton likes revving the engine, feels a bit like IndyCar, and leaves the pit lane as quickly as possible. Padua Ward, by the way, was hanging out in the box about 40 minutes ago. You could tell that he was desperate to get back in, and he was just trying to bug Elton Julian to let him in for the last stint.
Thank you, Shea. It will be Mike Conway who comes in next time around from the lead. Looks like it's going to be... Where did Elio... It was Elio Castroneves, by the way, that got in. Sorry, Joe. I did see the helmet, the distinctive striped helmet of Elio in the 60. Now, his outlap will be stunning because he's brilliant on cold tyres. He's waving around, going down to the Le Mans backstay straight chicane, just trying to clean them up as in comes the LMP2 leaders. So Rene Rast in the APR car, and got Aera Motorsport, Ryan DL, and also Tower and PR1, Louis Delatraz and Mikkel Jensen coming in. Those are the top cars, shit, Adam. Well, just keep an eye on that as Shea's down at Dragon Speed at the moment. Again, this will be a penultimate stop for these guys. Now, where has that pit stop cycle at the front of the field shaken out? It's Mike Conway leading. Elio Castroneves with that pit stop has held on to the lead by 4 seconds. Ricky Taylor still in second. But remember, Mike Conway has got to stop. So the effective leader right now, Elio Castroneves, as Mike drops down underneath the double yellow line and heads towards Joe Bradley in the Whelan Engineering pit.
The 31 hits its marks, absolutely spot. Doesn't even hit the board in front of it, and we've got a driver change. So why can't we getting out? As the fueling's done, this is pretty standard. Very nice for the top teams to stagger their pit stops for our broadcast. It's going to be enabled me to cover all of the top three pit stops. It's Pico Durrani that's got in, the diminutive frame of the young Brazilian in the car. Now the door is slammed, fueling still going on, and it's always the fueling that lasts longer than everything else. That's a great sign when everything's done. And Durrani
down to Dragon Speed with Elton Julian. You've had the brightest car, the one that gets the most attention all week. Now coming down to this last stint, you have the unenviable decision, Colton Herta or Pato O'Ward, to take it to the checkered flag. How are you going to calm one of those two guys down?
Well, it's been done, but it wasn't really clear cut, was it? I mean, you should have been here. It's heads and heads. I mean, what do you want? So it really actually sorted itself out because of the yellows and the way things played out. We had some issues with the rear wing gurney and other little niggles the whole day and night, which kind of pushed our plan back, and it just kind of solved itself. But had that not been the case, we didn't know what to do. I wish I had two cars for him.
Yeah, that would be fun to see, Colton versus Pato, but we get that in IndyCar. Yeah, we can make that happen. All right, next year I'm going to hold you to that. So it is Colton into the end.
Yes.
Another question. Every time you guys have been doing pit stops lately, you've been passing a water bottle into the driver. Is there some sort of driver drinks malfunction, or are you just making sure they're hydrated?
It's just driver preference, really. I think the IndyCar guys realize that their drinks bottles in IndyCar are so bad. They're like, I get a bottle? They don't trust our drink bottle system, which is fine, but it's just driver preference. Actually, funnily enough, I was a bit like them. I didn't drink during the stint. I drank in between. But other people want to continuously drink, so driver preference. Think about how hot the IndyCars must be right now. So this is a walk in the park.
Looks like a game of patience out there, Mike. You're just off the tail of the top two, but that's nothing at this stage, is it?
Yeah, I mean, still an hour to go. Just the Acuras seem to be picking up the pace a little bit, especially the 60 car at the end there. Just hard to get by them. But we try all we can do. We'll push to the end.
And that was the penultimate pit stop for the 31 Wheel and Engineering car, yeah?
Is the what, sorry?
The penultimate stop. Only one more stop to go.
Yeah, with an hour, we need one more stop. So, this will be second to last stop. So, boys have been doing a great job on the pit lane. And, the Action Express Whelan Cadillac car has been faultless all day. We just, couldn't ask for more. Just see if we can get this top step at the end.
What's the state of the tyres towards the end of the stint? Because that's when the fist fight's going to happen.
Yeah, that's where you got to kind of look after at the first stage of the stint. But I think as it's rubbering up more and more, it gets a little bit easier, but it's you still got to manage it. So it's tricky.
What does Mike Conway do now? Your job's over, Mike. You just have to sit there, stand there and be nervous?
Go sleep, I think.
Kim, I'll let you do that. Thanks, Mike Conway there. Car 31, the Whelan Engineering car. You cannot discount that team, can you, at this
hell
stage?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Two Acuras, two Cadillacs at the moment, 15, call it 16 seconds between the top four people. Durrani has been sent out there to try and improve. Loic Duval, only 0.2 of a second behind second position. That car has really come out, and Loic has come out fighting. But this is magnificent stuff. 5 seconds between first and second, 0.2 between second and third. They're into the Le Mans chicane on the back straight now. Traffic ahead of them. Loic Duval has his target in sight. Target acquired. Thanks very much.
So before this round of pit stops began, the order was 60, 10, 31, 5. The order now is 60, 10, 5, 31. The gap between first and second was 3.5 seconds. It's now 4 and a bit. The gap between second and third was next to nothing. It's still next to nothing, but it's now the 5 car ahead of the 31, which all of a sudden is 10 seconds behind the other trio.
They were the last to pit. So
they were.
So two things there. They're going to be the last to get up the speed because they've got cold tyres on, but they might just have a tiny tyre advantage at the end. It's not going to be much, though. We're talking a lap here, a lap there, but...
Compared to the number 5 car, it's 5 laps.
Yeah.
Compared to the Acuras, it's 2 and 3 laps, and therefore less fuel it will require, assuming they filled it up then, which I think they did.
Yes, they did.
To go to the end.
Time stop? Dare you? Do a time stop rather than just a full stop?
I mean, it's almost a full stop, but not quite. But they know exactly what the fuel consumption is. They know exactly how much to put in, how long that takes, and that'll be it. They're not going to put any extra fuel in. There's no extra time here in the Rolex 24-day.
No green-white checker. So the choice then for the 31 Wheel and Engineering team is, do they come at the first possible opportunity with about 36-37 minutes to go and put in enough fuel to get to the end, which will be a little bit less, or do they go long and take the track position and then put the fuel in to get to the end? And that is the choice.
I think it is the choice.
Would you come in first?
I think they will come in first.
Yeah, me too.
They're in fourth position now. If they come in,
They trigger everything else.
If they come in and then there's a full course caution when the other guys have not yet pitted, the pits will be closed and therefore the other guys will not be able to stop until the pits are opened, and they will, in doing so, fall behind the number 31 car.
Number 5 up to second position as they went across the start finish line. Loic Duval overtakes Ricky Taylor, and he's on a bit of a charge. Duval caught and passed Ricky Taylor. Don't think there's anything wrong with that. Number 10, Cunningham and Alder Acura. There'll be a plan here. Undoubtedly, you don't win 3 in a row at this place without knowing what you've got to do in the clutch part of the race. And that's what we're in now. 4 seconds, the lead. Elio Castroneves to Loic Duval. Acura Cadillac.
It's a chess match now.
Brilliant stuff at the front of the field. Just checking in with the other... other classes. Colton Hurt by 3 seconds. Dragon Speed from Tower. Louis Delatraz in that car in LMP3. That's first to second, by the way. There's a lap gap between Felipe Fraga and Colin Brown. Yes, there is. Colin's about 9 seconds ahead of Shao Barbosa, Riley Cole and Sean Creech Motorsport. The top three there. GTD Pro, Porsche. Still, I mean, it's like, it's been ridiculous that. It's 2 hours. They've been a second apart. And... marvellous stuff. Alessandro Perghidi is another 7 seconds further back, holding Third position for recent competition in the 62 Ferrari, Vassar Sullivan's Lexus. Another 6 seconds further back for Hawksworth. In GTD, Ferrari by 5.5 seconds. Nicholas Nielsen in the second place with the Ferrari 488 of F Corsa, chasing the Porsche of Wright Motorsports in Jan Heerlen and Andy Lally, Magnus Racing, in a solid third place in the Gilbert Courthof Motorsport AMG GT3 Mercedes number 32, two laps back from there. So the interest there between first and second position, Ferrari, Aston Martin, Mercedes, McLaren in the top four, by the way. I should just mention there, four different manufacturers in the GTD standard category. 54 minutes to go.